What a blessing to have Titsi's gifts shared with us. Thank you, Titsi. That was, if I mistake not, a commendation of The Swan, a classical piece that my mom also used to play for church, so it spoke to my heart. And my Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine, for thee all the follies of sin I resign. A wonderful hymn. Our scripture is along the same line today. 2 Timothy 2:19 to 21. I'll be reading from the ESV. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, but some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work.
Bobby, you can go. There you go. Beat me to it. Good morning. The rain is falling. Amen. Got a good response that time. You know, myself and a few of the teachers sitting here this morning, I see a few of them, from Valley View, had the privilege to spend 3 days together at Mount Hermon at the Teachers and Pastors Retreat of 2017. And we were richly, richly blessed. We had Dr. Anderson with us and talked about empowering and leadership and teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. I think that's what you use at the preschool, Jamie. And it was a huge blessing. And I'm gonna use one of Dr. Anderson's techniques this morning on you. So I'm gonna have everybody stand up, okay? Stand up, okay? And the teachers will get this in a minute. They're gonna like chuckle probably. And I need some people to go into the aisles a little bit. Just kind of move into the aisles just a little bit. There you go, Elmer. There you go. Okay. And I want to hear a good hearty amen.
Amen.
I want to hear a praise the Lord. Come on, I want to hear a hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, you can sit back down. Go ahead, sit back down. Good. Good. Now, Kristen and Jeannie, we can really say this afternoon when we go home and we post on social media or call somebody that the church was on their feet this morning saying amen, praise the Lord, and hallelujah to my preaching. Right? You were. That was incredible. Incredible. No, we had a good time with that. And we were blessed to be there. But we're back, and it's the first Sabbath of 2017. Amen. And how do you like our new banners up here? You are the potter and we are the clay. You are the vine and we are the branches. We're going to be looking at that next week. But this week, we're going to be looking at a text in Jeremiah about the potter and the clay. I believe with all my heart and all my soul that God has me here for a purpose. And God has you here for a purpose. He has us here for a purpose, collectively, to go about his mission and accomplish as a group of people what he sees best. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. But just like the people in Jeremiah's time, we have some hardness to us sometimes, don't we? We have selfishness and sin and pride and things get in the way, and it stops us individually with God, but it also stops us corporately with God at times. But praise be to God for His goodness and His grace. And we're going to read about that this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can stand here this morning and say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, because You are here. You are in the midst of us. And Father, this morning as the rain is falling outside and giving things new growth, Father, I pray that You will come into each one of us and give us Holy Spirit growth. Father, this morning as we read from the Word of God, which is active and alive, I pray that we're convicted. We're convicted by the Holy Spirit and conformed to Your will, Father. We trust You this morning. Have Your way with us, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the Master's hands. Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. We're going to go there this morning. Say okay when you get there. Okay when you get there. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. We're going to read in just a moment here. Now, Jeremiah, the portion that we're going to look at today is both Jeremiah 18 and Jeremiah 19. And Jeremiah 18, we're going to read in just a moment, but it's where the prophet Jeremiah visits the potter's house and watches him mold clay. And something happens there, we're going to see. And in chapter 19, we see Jeremiah taking the completed vessel, the finished product, and smashing it. Not good. The first event pictures God's grace, and the second event pictures God's judgment. As you consider the potter and the clay this morning, you see a picture of our lives and our relationship to God, and each thing here that we're reading about has a meaning. I'm going to go through five or six different things on the PowerPoint screen this morning with you regarding Jeremiah 18 and 19. Let's read Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel.'" Very cool thing that God did to Jeremiah. He said, "Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house." Did he obey? Well, the Bible says he did, right? That's the first step, is it's good to obey God, right? Because ultimately he had something to show him, and he showed him. And he goes down to this potter's house, and there he watches the master craftsman fix a marred piece of clay. You know, God is the potter. It says right there, it says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father, and we are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of your hand." Do you know that you're the work of His hand? Do you know that this morning? You are the work of God's hand? Are you listening to me? You can do this if you can't speak. Okay. I brought a cowbell. Don't make me use it. You know, there, it's working. We know that God is the potter. Right? God is the potter. Our lives are not in the hands of some invisible force or blind fate. They're in the hands of Almighty God. And God is not just our creator. He's our father, and he has a personal concern for our lives. He's the potter, as we just read. There's a little thing I want to read this morning in just a moment. Not yet. Can the clay mold itself? What does it need? It needs outside force, right? It needs outside help. Only God has the power to guide our lives. Think about that. He makes it clear in Jeremiah 18, 6 through 10. Let's read there. Where he says, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster I intended to do to it. And if you at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended for to do. Are you seeing some conditional things there? You see that? You think of the story of Nineveh and Jonah, right? God said, I'm going to destroy it if they don't repent. Same thing here. God says, hey, if you do this and you turn, I'll change my mind. But if you don't, you're going to face the consequence of it, which we'll talk about later. You know, I'm sure glad this morning that God has a plan. The potter has a perfect plan for the clay. You see, God sees the finished product. We can't see it, but God sees it. God has the perfect plan. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, right? That's why we're here, Paul, to do good things. We can't see the finished product, but he promises it's wonderful. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, what no eye has seen or heard or not even imagined, what God has prepared for those that love him. You can't even imagine what God has in store on that side of eternity. You can't even imagine what God has in store for 2017 in your life. It could be. You can't imagine what God has. There's a little book called Help in Daily Living in our library, and I'm going to read this to you. It hits home here. The potter takes the clay and molds it according to his will. He kneads it and works it. He tears it apart and presses it together. He wets it and then dries it. He lets it lie for a little while without touching it. When it's perfectly pliable, he continues the work of making it a vessel. He forms it into shape and onto the wheel, trims and polishes it. He dries it in the sun and bakes it in the oven. Thus it becomes a vessel fit for use. So the great master worker desires to mold and fashion us. And as clay is in the hands of the potter, so are we to be in his hands. We are not to try to do the work of the potter. Our part is to yield ourselves to be molded by the master worker. Amen. Amen. You know, there's something else about this potter that I appreciate. I appreciate that he has a lot of patience. Amen. He has a lot of patience. The potter patiently works the clay, tenderly molding its shape, and God patiently directs in our lives, seeking to fulfill his will. Often he uses the hands of others, as we learned about this week at our teachers' pastor summit. He uses teachers, parents, fellow Christians. Even sometimes he uses those who persecute us to mold and shape us. You know, it takes time to make a worthwhile product. And God is willing to wait. Amen. There is a picture of the master potter in his artisan room going at it. Here's another quote here. It says, "The Lord can do nothing for us unless we submit to his molding hand. We must be molded as clay is molded in the hands of the potter. A strong, determined will is essential, but it should never be under submission. It should not bear the mold of selfishness, but the grace of Christ should be seen in all the words and ways." I'm sure glad that God is the potter this morning. I'm sure glad that he can mold and shape each one of us as he sees best. And he can do it corporately too. And he's doing it here in Arroyo Grande. He's doing it in Santa Maria. He's doing it in Morro Bay. He's doing it in SLO. He's doing it in the Central California Conference. He's doing it in the Pacific Union. He's doing it in the World Church. Amen? God has a mission for his people, and he is the commander of the ship. He is the master potter. And we are the clay. Jeremiah's message of the clay represents the people of Judah. But we're not wrong in applying it to us personally. Christians are God's vessels molded by him to contain the treasure of the gospel. Clay, as we all know, is dirt mixed with water. And when you put those two together, it becomes malleable and you can shape it and do things with it and work it in such a way that you can make beautiful pieces of pottery, beautiful dishes. My wife has some. A few. We are dirt, created from the dust of this earth. And the water is the Holy Spirit. And God desires to pour into us the Holy Spirit so that he can mold and shape us as he sees fit. And we can all be beautiful masterpieces here on this earth. Think about that. Think about that. Nobody can calculate the tremendous potential of an individual's life. Nobody. But you know, the most important quality of the clay is that it yields. Did you hear me? It yields. It gives itself. You see, because if it fails to yield to the hands of the potter, it gets spoiled. The clay cannot mold itself. It has to have the potter. There are no self-made Christians in the will of God. When we say the clay can't mold itself, we're not suggesting that people play no part in fulfilling God's will. We're not inactive or resigned, mere lumps of clay in God's hands. He wants us to cooperate with him as we pray, as we meditate, as we obey. How is God shaping you this year? How is God shaping us this year? You know, one of the things that Erica mentioned earlier was the church life segment. We're hoping to infuse the congregation, you, on Sabbath mornings about what's happening in the body of the church. Because there are some things happening. In 2 weeks, we're going to have the State of the Church address, which is like a State of the Union, but for our church. And we're going to look back at what last year, what things were accomplished and what we did. And we're also going to look forward to this next year and what we're praying over earnestly, what the elders have been working over, and how we're going to have a strategic plan with God's help for those things. So the potter has to have something to spin his pottery on. And in Jeremiah's time, that was a wheel. And I believe life is the wheel. Here's a picture of what it may have looked like when he went to watch the potter. There you can see the pottery on top and the little round wheel at the bottom that he would spin with his foot. You know, our lives as Christians are not controlled by chance or luck. Praise God. They are overseen by God. He arranges the circumstances of life that mold us. It was God who arranged for Joseph to go to Egypt and do what he did. We may wonder about the circumstances in our lives and think, man, what has made me deserve this, right? But one day we're going to realize the truth of Romans 8:28 and agree that all things do work together for good. Amen? All things do work together for good, no matter what the circumstances are. It's hard to swallow, but we serve a mighty God who knows best. You know, the most important thing about the wheel is not its size, because some lives are shorter than others, but its center. You see, if the wheel is on center, then everything will be balanced. Christ is the center of the dedicated Christian's life. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Why do we believe we have to wait for some of those things? "Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." On earth, today, right now, you can have it. But we often throw in the towel and say, "Oh, when Jesus gets here." No, we can experience and we can taste heaven. We can have God transform our minds and our hearts here and now. Amen? There is a application to the marring of the clay, and that is that what caused this marring was the disobedience. Disobedience is the marring of the clay. The prophet saw the vessel was marred. Did the potter throw the clay away? Did he throw it away? No. You're still with me. Good. What did he do? He reworked it, right? This is a snapshot of the rebellion of man and his restoration by God's grace. Why was the clay marred? Bad decisions? Disobedience? Let's look at 18, 11, and 12. Jeremiah 18, 11, and 12. It says, "Now therefore say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return every one from its evil way and amend your ways and your deeds." Now here's the answer to the question. "But they say, that is vain. We will follow our own plans and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart." You know, the devil doesn't scare me, because I know Jesus has a hand over the devil. He says, "Get down. Get behind me." You know what scares me? It's me. Come on, me. I scare myself. Why? Because I'm selfish. I'm sinful. I'm prideful. I got an ego. I'm stubborn, as my wife says. Sorry for my stubbornness. But praise be to God that when I surrender to Him, He can help me overcome those things. He can forgive me and He can forgive you, and He can give us all the opposites of what I just mentioned. But as long as we're on this side of eternity and we're in the flesh here, we're going to face these battles every day. Every day. How often do we as Christians mar our own lives by making our own plans outside of the will of God? If only we could see the finished product, we say. If only we could see that, what God has planned, then we wouldn't disobey Him probably, right? Miriam laughing. Well, some of us think that we know more about life than he does. Probably all of us at times. But God is gracious to forgive us and to make us again. And sometimes he uses difficult testings to get us to yield. He spent 20 years molding Jacob, who in the end became a useful vessel. First John 1:9 is a wonderful promise of forgiveness, but it's not an excuse for disobedience. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Sin and selfishness makes it hard to work with both God and man. You know, what really tickles me is when somebody comes in or gives me a phone call and we talk about their spiritual journey and them and God seem great, but they don't get along with anybody. Or it's the opposite. They're great with everybody, but them and God are like so distant, it's unbelievable. You got to have both, right? One is complementary of the other. I mean, if you're tight with God, you should be tight with your brothers and sisters, right? Trials are the furnaces. You know, Jeremiah doesn't mention the potter's furnaces, but they had to be there. No vessel is worth anything until it's gone through the furnace. You see, the heat gives the clay its strength and beauty and increases its usefulness and value. Life has to have its furnaces. We just studied for the last quarter about Job, right? He was in a furnace with flamethrowers and probably gasoline. That guy went through so much. But in the end, what did he have? Twice as much. Did he understand God better? Yeah. Those trials built him up. I heard a great sermon a few years ago. Well, I say great, you're going to think I'm crazy, but... And this guy was preaching that we should pray for trials and tribulations every day. He said, when I get in the car with my family, he goes, I don't pray for God to protect me because God always wants to protect me. He goes, I pray that God will do whatever it takes to work in my life in a mighty way today and reveal himself in this vehicle. And I'm like, whoa. And he goes, you know, we've been in accidents. We've had the car break down, but God's behind it all. Praying for trials seems like a crazy thing, doesn't it? None of us want that. But if God can be glorified through those things, then we can get closer to him and be used more, isn't it a good thing? I remember just 2 weeks ago, Dottie, you gave your testimony. Yeah. And in your testimony, I remember you saying, I had a stroke. Praise God, right? You're praising God for that. Some things happened in your life that were good because of that. Yeah, totally. Life must have its furnaces. You know, I think of the three Hebrew boys in the fire. Well, four. They're with the potter there, amen? He's in the fire with them, and he's in the fire with us. As we go through our trials and tribulations, God is with us. We have that confidence, that promise. You know, Christians who have lived sheltered lives outside of God's furnace, says, miss many of the blessings of his grace received by those who have been willing to suffer with and for Christ. When trials come our way, we have to yield to the potter and let him have his way. And the last point I want to make this morning is breaking the vessel is the judgment. And this is the hard one. Because, you know, Jeremiah, he went down to the potter's house. He learned of what God wanted to do with the hearts and minds of the people, both individually and collectively. And then he went and he told them, and they said, "Nope, we're going to do our own thing, man. You're crazy. We're going to kill you." And he feared for his life. And he prayed, "God," in chapter 19, he says, "Have your way with them. Give them what they deserve." And God says, "Well, here you go." Jeremiah 19:1-13. Jeremiah went to the valley of the son of Hinnom, a place where the Jews had dedicated for the worship of idols. And some of the worst sins in Jewish history were committed in that place. Back in chapter 7, you can read about those atrocious sins. I mean, it's horrible things, child sacrifices, all sorts of things like that. You know, the name son of Hinnom was written Gehinnom, which eventually became Gehenna. And in the Greek language, that's the New Testament word for hell. King Josiah turned this adulterous place into Jerusalem's garbage dump. What an awful picture of hell, the eternal garbage dump of the universe. This time the prophet brought a finished vase and he held it before the elders and preached a sermon about judgment. And he said, "You have forsaken God and worshipped idols here. You have sinned against his word. But the day will soon come when this valley will not be called Tophet, burning or filth, but the valley of slaughter." Judgment is coming to Judah. Then he broke the vase, and it could never be repaired. A nation, a group, and an individual can get to the point of no return. Think about that for a minute. You see, if the clay becomes hard, it can no longer become molded. How important it is to yield to Jesus. It's vital. It's necessary. 1 John 5:16 says, "There is a sin unto death." Meaning there you can take it too far. If you don't allow the master to have you, that's your choice. How important is it for us to respond to God's offer of forgiveness and renewal while there's still time? Amen? You know, I think for many, it's hard to read about God's grace and then read about his judgment. And I think that's because we're human. We're sinful human beings. And we see that and we kind of go, "Oh man, like these people didn't obey. They were selfish." And then God kind of puts the hammer down and says, "Okay, this is the result of that." But the fact is this morning is that very thing that pulls you and me away from God is what God hates and what God wants to destroy. Amen? That's good, because that thing called sin, selfishness, pride, is the thing that God is going to wipe out. It's the thing that separates you and I from Him. It's the thing that runs this world into chaos. And when we realize that, we realize that God did not hate Judah by any means. He didn't want to destroy those people. He longed for them over and over and over again. What he wanted to wipe out was the sinfulness, the wickedness. It was horrible. Some of the things in Jeremiah 7 are absolutely, I mean, I have a hard time reading it, what these people did. Every human being throughout history has dealt with this in some way. This struggle, right? But praise be to God that when we're like clay and we ask God for wisdom, He can help us. He can help us. The good news this morning is that God wants you and me to continually grow in the hands of the potter. Amen? For 2017. He wants us to continue to grow individually and also corporately. And so this morning, I have an appeal. And my appeal, what I'm going to do is preface that appeal with some thoughts. And I want to show you these pictures. Take a look at these pictures here. Beautiful pictures. Another one. It's a good picture, isn't it? Clint Eastwood. Yeah. No, I think it's Clint Eastwood, I think. Here's some more. Look at those young kids. Aren't they precious, Norma Jean? Yeah. You know what's amazing about this? Is that these are all done with pencils. Every one of those. Let me go back through them real quick. You can look at them. Pencil, 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 pencil. You know, the thing about that, nobody asks what kind of pencil was used. You know that? Nobody says, was it a number two pencil or was it a graphite pencil from the art store downtown? No, nobody cares what pencil was used. What do they care about? The finished product, right? The finished product. I want to make an appeal to you this morning that God longs for us as his pencils and his vessels to be used to create something so beautiful we can't even imagine it. So wonderful. And so this morning, I have something that I'd like to for us to read together. And if you'd like to say to God this year, God, I want to be a vessel in your hands. I want to surrender my heart and my mind to you in 2017 so that I can grow close to you and experience your goodness and your grace and your mercy and all those other wonderful things. But also corporately, God, I know that you have a mission for us as a church, as a group of people. We're here to go about your mission. We're not here just individually, like we check in and then we check out. If we do that, we're missing the point, because God has us all here corporately to go about his mission. Every one of us has a role to play. Every one of us is part of God's masterpiece. And so this morning, if you would like to say to God, hey, God, I'm here. I'm checking in. I want you to stand up this morning with me. Stand up with me this morning. I'm checking in, God, and I'm committing to you here this morning. And I have a responsive reading that we're going to read, and I'm going to be in red and you're in black. And we'll read back and forth a little bit here. You are the potter, Lord, and we are the clay. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I trust you. We are God's masterpiece. And God wants to use us to continue that. Let's pray. Father, Lord, it's good to be here in the house of God this morning. I'm so thankful this morning for the Word of God, the Bible, which you've given to us as a guide, an inspiration to us all on how to live better, how to experience the benefits of heaven here and now. Father, as we said earlier, we trust you. We put our trust in you. So, Father, do with us as you see best, as you see fit, so that glory and honor will be brought to your name this coming year. And in Aurora Grande, and for those who are visiting, Father, wherever they are from, I pray that your Spirit would be poured out through their individual lives and their church's lives. Father, we know you're coming back soon to take us home, and we know that there are many people who still need to hear the good news about Jesus. So, Father, until that day and those clouds when you come and those trumpets blare, may you find us faithful and surrendered and humble. We are clay in your hands, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all. I want everybody to have a wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you.